Thanks for listening to the Susie Larson Life Podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you. It's only just a matter of... You're listening to an encore presentation of Susie Larson Life. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. Always so honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. So how do you come through a heart-wrenching, difficult season and come out the other side, you know, go through the fire without smelling like smoke? How do you go through times of battle and hardship and hurt and disappointment and come out the other side with a song in your heart, believing that God is good? We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Heidi Lee Anderson returns to the program. I don't know if you remember her. I had her on about a year ago. Her book is titled, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. And this is from a woman who knows. She's not just saying it. This is hard-fought wisdom. The subtitle of her book is How God's Word Answers Our Questions About Faith, Fear, and All the Things. This time, she's joined by her dad, Dan Stoltz. And he's just a really respected member of our local community, also at our university across the street. And if you're local, we've got listeners all over the world. But those of you who live in the Twin Cities, you've no doubt seen the commercial with Dan and Kirk Cousins standing by a truck. Yep, that's him. Anyway, we love Kirk, and we're hoping and praying to get him on in the days ahead. And Dan has such great wisdom, and he's a loving father. So we're going to just talk about how their stories sort of intermingled together. And I think you're in for a word of great encouragement. If you want in on the drawing for Heidi's book, again, she's someone who knows. So she answers a lot of what-if questions. And if you walk through hardship, one of the aftershocks, one of the after effects is the what-if question. And so she answers a lot of those in this book. If you need that kind of encouragement, text the word book to 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. But also, this is the first time they've been on the air together, so I'd love for you to show them some love. So text in some love notes, and I'll read them as I go along. A quick announcement before we hear from our guest today. Did you know that God has used Faith Radio for 75 years? Today is our 75th birthday. Unbelievable. Billy Graham started this station. And you know, we love this. We love giving gifts. So to celebrate our birthday, we want to give you presents. So we've got 75 birthday boxes we're getting out to friends. And there's all kinds of goodies in those boxes. You can register to win one on myfaithradio.com. And while you're there, check out our new Reading the Bible Together initiative. It's the Lenten season reading. And my producer, Angela Smith, is also the Reading the Bible Together podcast host. So you'll get all the information you need on all of that on the web, myfaithradio.com. Now, let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Heidi Lee Anderson's a writer, speaker, stay-at-home mom. She spent her career doing ministry, from teaching hundreds of kids in ministry to writing daily devotionals, Bible reading plans, and small group curriculum as a content developer. After being diagnosed with cancer, Heidi's fuel is now to make sure that Christ followers realize, know, and claim the sure promises that God offers in the mundane, amid the heartache, and on the top of the highest mountains. And a side note, if you don't follow her on Instagram, you really want to, because she will brighten your day. She's amazing. And her dad, Dan Stoltz, is CEO of Blaze Credit Union, where he's served since 1999. He has an MBA and is a CPA in Minnesota. He's been married to his wife and best friend, Robin, for more than four decades. The couple has been married, has married children, 11 grandchildren. My goodness. In his rare spare time, he loves to golf and travel. This is one time I'll have you guys talk at the same time. Welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you for having us, Susie. Really looking forward to it.
I know. This is a good time, Susie. Ever since over a decade ago now, I picked up your book, The Uncommon Woman, just randomly off the shelf at Half Price Books. I was looking for a good read. I fell in love with you and your story and just your encouragement that you give us in our faith. So this is an honor for us both to be here.
Thank you so much. And I got to say, Dan, your bio is quite humble, because you are very highly regarded across the street in the university and around in our community. But that seems typical of you. So I just want to honor the gift of God in you. Thank you for joining us today.
Again, it's such an honor, and it's really an honor to share the mic with you today, Susie. And then my daughter, Heidi, we do public speaking in different circles. And today, to be in the same studio with you, this is absolutely a big honor.
Yeah.
So thank you so
much. Well,
thank
you. And I got to say, one of the last events that I was at that Heidi spoke at, we were just chatting on the side. I said, I see you and your dad doing events together. I mean, I got that picture. I really think you guys are going to. So I'm like, why don't I just get it started?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get them.
Here we go.
Not that I'm taking credit. I'm just saying. Anyway,
we're here for it.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Well, my same question I ask every day, I want to ask both of you, and I'll start with you, Heidi, just in your time with the Lord, what's he been talking to you about?
You know what? I have read the story of Gideon before. I'm very familiar with his story. I hone in on his story in one of my chapters, but I'm speaking at the Set Apart Conference coming up here at Northwestern, and that's who I'm talking about. Mm. The title is What If I Don't Have What It Takes? And so I thought, you know what? I want to hear from you again, Lord. I want a fresh take on Judges 6, and I love that about the living Word of God, right? That even though he's taught us something from a passage once, that when we read it, I mean, it's living and active, and he has something new for us today too. And I had just flipped it open this week and dived into that chapter specifically. And you know what? I had never seen this before. It's a play on words. But when Gideon, an angel encounters him and says, you know, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon's like, okay, like, let's say that he is. Well, why has all this happened to us? Why are these bullies taking us over? Why are we driven from our homes? Why are we hiding out in fear? And he says, the Lord isn't with us like our ancestors. I mean, he's actually abandoned us. Mm. But if you look at the verses right before that, God had actually sent a prophet to these same people and said, you know what? You were the ones that abandoned God.
Wow.
But if you go down to verse 14, when he shows up to Gideon, it says the Lord, his personal name, it says the Lord turned to Gideon. So even when he had turned away from God, even when the Israelites had turned away from God, God turned to them. He never actually abandoned them like they thought he did. And I thought, you know what, how often is that in our lives, right? We might think because of circumstances, maybe God has actually abandoned me. And yeah, he's answering prayers for other people, you know, like that, those ancestors. I've seen miracles. I've heard of those prayers. But you know what? God isn't answering my prayers. I think he's abandoned me today. But we can learn from Gideon that our God actually will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And he actually has a good plan set in motion that's still happening before our eyes.
That's so good. And the thing is, you know, you and I both know how prevalent this is. When you've suffered, your own heart can shut down to the point where you're shutting, you don't realize you're turning. And it's like God's not turning away. But if you don't deal with the disappointment and the hurt of the things he's allowed, you might, in fact, think he's turned away when you're the one who's turned your back a little bit. You
so
know,
true. I'm so glad he never gives up on
that's
us, right.
Right? Yeah, he's so patient with us in our suffering. Yeah. All right, Dan, how about you? What's God been talking about?
Yeah, you know, for me, my go-to verse has always been John 3:16. I've fortunate to be brought up in a Christian home, but my newest one, so we just built a home, and in the garage, we didn't have room for all these different pictures and sayings, but my wife somehow grabbed a chalk drawing that Heidi had, and it was Romans 8:31, and it simply says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And I see that in the morning as I drive out to work. I see it as I come into the house. And I got, what I just love about that verse is that we win. You know, he brings hope. He brings encouragement. And I always joke, I'm not a big fan of titles, but CEO, some say stands for chief executive officer, but it's really a chief encouragement officer in the workplace. It's being Jesus to others. And I love that verse because I hate losing more than I like winning. And God always brings it, you know?
Yeah,
so I just love that. So that verse is my biggest encouragement right now.
Wow, that's so good. And Heidi, as you said, it's been a year since you've been on. So I want, for the benefit of, we have so many listeners, new listeners all the time. Would you give us a little backstory? First, what life was like right before your diagnosis, and take us up to the point of diagnosis.
Yes, you know what? I've been very blessed. I grew up in a Christian home. Like my dad here, he and my mom taught us the Word of God. He brought us to church. And so I accepted Jesus into my heart at age 4. And it has been year after year of following him. But it actually wasn't until I was 23. I was single. I was working in kids ministry, and I was thrown the biggest curveball of my life. And I was told I have Hodgkin's lymphoma. I had cancer, and that was the first time where I really faced something completely out of my control. You know, it felt like walking with the Lord was relatively easy. In my high school experience, I went to Northwestern, where you're just surrounded by all these believers. But really, when I looked over and I was sitting on that white crinkly paper, and I heard the doctor told me, you know, that we found out through the biopsy, you have Hodgkin's lymphoma. I mean, it sucked the air right out of me. Felt like a punch in the gut. And really, that's where the Lord met me there. I love in scripture where it says he's closer than a brother, because even though that was the worst experience ever, I saw that Psalm verse prove to be true, that he really is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, that he never leaves us for a minute. Mm-hmm. And so that's where really where the Lord met me, and a lot of different things, miracles happened during that time that still to this day, it reminds me, man, the goodness of God hounded me down, even when it looked terribly bad. Mm.
Okay, so I'm going to go back and forth between you guys in this story. So were you alone in that clinic office?
So you know what? I brought my mom.
Okay,
because
good.
Don't
good.
All 20-somethings bring their mom everywhere
yes,
they go.
Absolutely.
But maybe 35, like I should stop.
No,
right?
That's okay.
Yeah,
but you had your mom with you. Wow.
Yeah, so I brought my mom. And I actually will remember when we walked out of that appointment, I went straight to her car instead of mine. And I sat in that passenger seat just looking up at this bright blue sky and asking, what do I do now? And it wasn't for another 3 weeks until we could get into the oncologist. So we really sat in those 3 weeks, not sure how things looked, how far along I was, what treatment looked like. And man, can it in the waiting? That's where the enemy really loves to pick you apart,
so
right?
True. Yeah.
Fire those what if worst case scenarios. But I was so grateful my parents went with me to that first appointment with the oncologist. And again, that first appointment, I will always remember, Dad, I'm sure you too, but it was a doozy, right? Because he flipped open this paperwork that I had to sign in order to receive treatment. And on one part, it had all the short-term side effects, like maybe possible muscle movement in my neck, or that chemotherapy would attack my ovaries and I probably wouldn't be able to have kids. He said best to prepare for that. Hmm. And then, you know, he flipped over to the next page and said, let's go over some long-term symptoms or risks. And one of them is that breast cancer is a common second cancer, he said, with radiation in the chest and can come in your 30s, which again, now being 35, that one hits a little close to home. He also said, you know, one of the chemotherapy drugs we're going to give you, it can lead to a cardiac arrest or heart failure in your 40s.
Oh, man.
And so, I mean, I'm just looking down at this paper. I looked up at him like, how in the world am I supposed to live, laugh, love with conditions like that always hanging over my head? And I was so grateful. My mom and dad came with me with every appointment. They came went with me to the hospital for the biopsy and all those procedures, and man, I could not have done it without them.
Wow. So for you, Dan, what was that like?
Yeah, wow. It brings back lots of memories. I'll never forget when I knew they were going into the doctor, and Heidi just said, I got a lump on my neck, and I thought, just go see the doctor. I'm sure there's going to be some meds, and it'll be okay. And I came home from work, and here they're both crying, and I thought, well, something's not right here. And then they said, well, Heidi's just been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. I never even heard of that word. I didn't even know what that meant. And then, you know, Mom put it in very simple words that it's cancer, and she's got to go after this thing. And I think I speak for all the dads on the planet, but you would do anything to change places with your daughter. You know, I just remember that. But I knew that we had God, we had our faith, and I knew he was in the plan. I didn't know what the plan and result was, but I knew we were in this together. And I think that's the thing about our faith, is that he gives us hope. He gives us encouragement. There's things that sometimes we don't understand why they happen, and not all the results are exactly the same for everybody. But I remember going through that journey, and I look back at it now, and I think our faith has even grown so much deeper. Yeah. I mean, look at your ministry, Heidi, and I'm just so proud of you talking about that valley in life. We all have valleys, and we all need that encouragement and hope. And as we look back on it, we say, Lord, there's a master plan in this. It wasn't the way we would have written it, you know, but it was really real. And but it was very emotional. And you just don't think of those words. And I don't even know. Did you know what Hodgkin's lymphoma meant even at that time?
No, I even had to ask, what in the world is that? And it was Mom who answered it. And she's like, that's cancer in your lymph nodes. Yeah. And it's like, we had no family history of cancer, really any disease whatsoever. So again, those titles just went right over my head.
So how did you process over, how long from diagnosis to like being declared cancer free, how long of a time span?
It was about 6 months.
Okay. How did you manage fear, you know, sadness? How did you manage that over that 6 months?
Yeah, you know, you could even see the physical pieces of that, right? I mean, through the chemo and radiation and the loss of hair, and you could just see her just in pain, and you could just see her getting weaker, and you just saw these every day was a different day. And but we would pray together. We were together as a family, but we just knew that the Lord was with us. And I tell you, Susie, I'm not going to do a spoiler spoiler alert, but I got to tell, because when I'm talking in the community, I talk about hope and encouragement. But when the doctor said, you know, one of the biggest risks, we got good news, we believe we got the cancer. That was so great. The bad news is we really felt we got all the fertility. You're never going to have kids. And I knew Heidi here. She's a 23-year-old, going to be a young mom. And that was just definitely a dream of Heidi's. And you go, well, listen, for the consequences, for the options that the doctor's given us, we're going to take that. And today, Heidi's blessed us with four kids. I mean, wow. Isn't that just amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
So God's wow. so good.
Wow. Okay, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to hear more of the story. Again, Heidi's book is really, I feel like, the emphasis of today's show. P.S. It's going to be good. How God's Word answers our questions about faith, fear, and all the things. I had a vivid dream last night that still got me thinking, and I feel like it so ties to this that I might share, but I might not, but I might. It's live radio, so I'll just let you know. But if you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. If you got questions for Dan or Heidi, send those as well. 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. The religious leaders expected a warrior. The disciples wanted an overthrower. The bullies wanted him to shut up, and the sinners were surprised when he stepped up. At every turn, Jesus surprised them, just as he surprises us now. Why? Because he always has the bigger story in mind, and you are a part of that story. You were the joy set before him. Connecting faith to life, Faith Radio. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live. I've got a couple of special guests in studio with me today. Heidi Lee Anderson wrote the book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. I had her on about a year ago. She's back here and she's in studio with her dad. He is CEO of Blaze Credit Union. And I just got to say, I know we've got listeners all over the world, but for those of you who live in the Twin Cities, it makes me kind of a name dropper, but he's on a commercial with Kirk Cousins by the truck. I just love that. So I'm a football fiend love Kirk. Yeah. And seriously, my producer, Angie, is a genius, and we might get him on next month.
That would be fantastic. Yes. Kirk is such a quality man.
He is a good man.
Loves
yeah.
Jesus, too.
And you are as well. So what a good dad you are, too. So we're talking about Heidi's story through cancer, but really just talking about how, you know, P.S., it's going to be good. It is. But here we are still in the middle of your journey. Did they give you any kind of prognosis at the point of diagnosis as far as your chances are good of overcoming this? Or, I mean, what were they saying to you?
Yeah. No, they said Hodgkin's lymphoma is one of those cancers where about 90% of people do reach remission, which was very encouraging for sure.
Mm. Wow. Okay. And take me to the lowest point of the treatment. Yeah. What was that like for you?
You know, I remember quite a few. A few that stick out is I just remember when my hair started to fall out in clumps. And I mean, again, I was this 23-year-old single girl. All I wanted was to meet my husband. Mm-hmm. And now instead I have hair falling out and facing cancer. And so we had a head shaving party, though, as a way to celebrate what the Lord was doing, and that we can see my hair falling out as a negative thing, or we can view it as a positive thing, that treatment is working and it's attacking the cancer and my body is responding to it. But so that was the hardest. But I will say another thing, I remember getting the port in my chest and feeling that lump just bulging underneath my skin. I always felt look more like a robot than a human. And then there was one night in particular too, where one of the chemotherapy drugs had an adverse effect on my body, and it felt like my tongue was literally on fire. And all night long I cried. I remember mom was up with me rubbing my back, and we were just praying like for relief. And when the oncology center opened at 8 a.m., we marched right in and they gave me different medication to soothe the pain. But yeah, I mean, there were plenty of low moments like that where it was physically hard. And then again, like my dad said, there were nights where mentally, you know, you just think of, feel like cancer is one of those death sentences where you hear about it and you're scared for your life and you think death is inevitable. And I just remember lots of nights just staying up in my bedroom, reading psalm after psalm and just trying to find the Lord's peace, because sometimes it felt like fear was overpowering.
Oh, so true. How did God meet you there? Were there times where he seemed silent, or did he seem present? I mean, I think one of the hardest things for my health battle are the times he seemed silent. Now, in hindsight, I know he was always near. Just it was teaching me something new about his character. But when you're in it and you're suffering and you can't hear anything, that that can be scary. So how about you?
Well, I want to say there is one thing that happened at the very beginning of treatment, and I think it was such a gift from the Lord, is that I had just gone through my first round of treatment. My hair, again, was just starting to fall out. I had no idea how things were looking, but my pastor had asked, would you be willing to share your story during our services? We went to Eagle Brook at the time, and so I said, okay. I didn't really want to. I didn't feel like I was in a good place to share the good news, if you've ever bought into that lie, but felt like, you know what, I'm gonna share my story anytime I can, so I will. So even though I don't know how things look, I know that my Savior told me in John, I will face trouble, but what did he say? That we can take heart because he has already overcome. So that's basically what I said, but what's really fun is my husband actually just so happened to be visiting my church that weekend. He didn't go to my church at the time. He went to a church up north.
Her husband now, so she's single, but this man is in the crowd.
And so we didn't talk that night, but he went out to friends later that night, and they were like, oh, so sad, 23 and already facing cancer. And it just seemed like there was no hope around the table. And Ty was like, you know what, if this is how everyone's responding to her, if this is how the church is responding to her, then I need to reach out. And so he sent me a Facebook message. It was very simple. It just read, you know, I heard your story. I just want you to know God wants you well, and I'm praying for you.
Wow.
And so we actually messaged back and forth throughout my chemotherapy time. And then we went on our first date right as we were going to radiation. And so honestly, I feel like when I look back on that, even in the midst, I'm like, man, God, you could have sent my husband any point, and now my 35 years of life, but you chose the short 6 month stint when I desperately needed hope for a future. And it was almost like this nice distraction, right? In the midst of so much hard, that Ty just treated me like a normal girl and just wanted to message back and forth. And so honestly, it felt like during that time, the Lord was really in it. And whenever I felt like fear was rising up, which inevitably it did, honestly, I would just sit and I would read the Bible with worship music blasted on high until I was able to walk out with peace.
Yeah.
And I did that hour after hour.
It works, friends.
I'm just saying,
when you're in that place, that's exactly what you want to do.
He
inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
And wow, that is so powerful. So how long did you date him till you knew, before you knew he was the man?
You know what? We say it was love at first sight for both of us.
Yeah,
we
that's
knew.
So sweet.
Yeah, it was awesome.
You're protective of your daughter. Did you like him right away?
You know, I always say that they're never friends, you know? So I wanted to make sure that I got to know him. But, you know, I when Heidi tells a story, you know, it really was the beginning, obviously, of a great marriage, but it also was the beginning of a ministry. And I think about that day. I remember how you did not want to get up there and give that story. And it was really, it's an amazing journey. And you're always looking for some hope with the doctors. You know, and the doctors have to do their job, right? They have to give you the realities of what's in front of you. And to me, the eye-opener thing in this, Susie, was really within our community, how many families are struggling with cancer. I was kind of blind to that. And then once you have it in your family, you're able to talk to people and you're able to just listen and give encouragement and share your faith and how you're getting through it. So it was a tough thing at home, but it was also an opportunity to kind of open up more relationships and more empathy towards you, if you know what I'm
so
saying.
So good. Yeah. When you walk through that valley of suffering, it really does tenderize your heart if you let it, you know. You and I, Heidi, just in other conversations off the air, have talked about how fear does kind of represent itself when you're living with some of those looming threats or, in my case, surging symptoms or whatever. And how on one hand, people who have lived healthy their whole life have no idea. So it's not like we're these weak people given to fear all the time. They just don't know what they're talking about. If they're judging that, they don't know what they're talking about. However, we're people of faith, so we're going to contend and do what we need to do to get out of fear.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think I've had to learn to practice some self-compassion too, because I know I have the Lord's compassion. How about you? Talk about that tension of being kind to yourself. If you're stirred up, it's not because you're weak. It's because you've had some major trauma and God is helping you to become an overcomer.
Yeah. You know what? That's one of the things I love about Bible stories, you know, like following specific Bible characters, because if we actually sit in the middle of their stories, you know, before we fast forward to their highlight reel, their good ending, their happy ending, if we sit in the middle, then we realize, man, none of these Bible heroes had it easy, right? We know Daniel, he was thrown into a den full of lions. Paul, he was thrown into a prison cell in the early church. I mean, they faced real persecution. They are today, but I'm talking about in Acts 2. When I sat in the middle of these stories, I realized I'm in good company, that God indeed used men and women that were sometimes facing a lot of fear and were facing really fearful situations. But what landed them in the hall of faith, Hebrews 11, I mean, they decided to believe, okay, these circumstances I'm facing today, they do not hold the final say. I don't know what God's going to do, but I do know that God protects me, that he would never forsake his own. And so that's really where I found comfort. When I'm in the middle of fear, when I've thrown different symptoms or curveballs and that fear just rears its ugly head again, I go back and I sit in these stories. I'm like, okay, well, if they were sitting in this den full of hungry lions, they're not giving in to fear. Then Paul, he's not staring helplessly around the bricks of his prison cell. And you know what? I don't have to give into this fear
either.
Come on.
Amen.
God is providing a way out, and I can instead keep point my eyes on him instead of this fear and the what if situations. Have to go back to those again and again and
Amen.
Again.
Same with me. Dan, how about you? I'd love just to take us back a little bit in the formative years of your faith journey, and maybe as you're willing to share some of the hardships that really shaped and made you the man that you are.
Yeah, no, thank you. I'm just going to lean into that last thing. Heidi, it's so fun, Susie. I can't describe it when you hear your daughter teaching, proclaiming Jesus Christ, doing the things that she's doing, and there's a chapter in there where she brought three characters that I grew up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah.
And you memorize as a young kid, they were thrown in the fire, but I just remember the takeaway Heidi had in her book was they refused to go bow down to the idol. They're thrown in the fire, and they didn't burn, right? And they didn't even smell smoke. And yet, in that fire, people saw Jesus.
That's
and
right.
She kind of brought that out in that, and I got to see it in another way in thinking through this cancer journey that she had. Other people were able to see Jesus through this.
That's
and we were
right.
able to talk about that.
So good.
Yeah.
Mm.
No, I just feel so blessed. My life has been, grew up on the east side of St. Paul. We didn't come with a lot of resources and things like that, but I had front row seats to parents that loved Jesus, loved each other. And I just saw this service attitude, servant leadership, we call it in business. And it was just giving back, taking care of people and doing the right thing. And so I grew up through that in my life. And, I was able to kind of lean into that, into my life ministry in business. And I love being salt. I love being light where others maybe aren't. And I just feel like the mission field is so vast and it's so different. And I did have a career path where maybe I was going to stay in Christian ministry, but really felt the God tugging at my heart to say, Dan, get out there and get into the business world and just bring your value stream, bring what you're all about, your faith. And people are yearning for that. In business, we always talk about words like integrity and character. They're talking about the characteristics that Jesus was and is and what our faith is all about. So I just love bringing that faith perspective in the community that sometimes is not even given a chance.
Right,
that makes
right,
sense.
Right, right. Oh, that's so good. Wow, so good. I want to read a quote from your book, Heidi, and it is good. As you hear her talk, she writes like she speaks unpacks scripture and brings it to life. And it says, this is what she wrote. When we lie awake at night, worrying, overwhelmed by the circumstances of today, haunted by the pain of what tomorrow may bring, Jesus' invitation to freedom is not elusive nor out of reach. It's actually clear as day, within arm's reach. When we open up our Bibles and step outside of our story, immersing ourselves in his story, will not only discover the pathway he's already laid out for us to seize, that promised free, abundant life, we will in fact see how he's been offering it this entire time. What do you wish someone would have told you? I mean, it sounds like you really went through your battle as a young woman of faith as valiantly as you possibly could have. I can't even, I'm really so impressed with you. I am. However, we all have our moments where we break down. And I mean, what do you wish, if anything, that someone may have told you, or maybe you would tell your younger self starting out in this journey?
Yeah, you know what? It's actually one thing my dad said to me. I will always remember it. I don't remember when it was during the treatment cycle, but I do remember that I was really scared about it, its circumstances, and I didn't know why I was experiencing certain things. And I was telling about to my mom and dad. And I will always remember my dad looked at me and he said, "You know what, Heidi, you're going to be okay. Do you know that? Do you know you're going to be okay?" And honestly, I was like, no, I didn't, but I needed to know that. And what I love about us, what I love about what God does through us, is that we have a very real opportunity to reflect his character. We have a very real opportunity to speak his word into other souls. And so my dad showed me my father's heart, my ultimate heavenly father's heart, that's what he wants all of us to know. I think sometimes we just want to know, are we going to be okay? Is this going to be okay? And what I love about our good God is he reassures us time and time again. And I love when us believers, when we can breathe that life and that hope into really lifeless and hopeless situations. So I take that, what my dad said, and I carry that forward now when I talk to people that are going through a hard time. I want them to know, if you're in Christ, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like, we know that he's going to use it all. That's what Romans 8:28 says. It's an absolute promise. It doesn't mean he's just going to use some things for our good and his glory. No, that promise says all. He will use all things for our good and his glory. He's so good to do both. And so that's what I think we just continually need to reflect. And when we're going through hard times, we just sometimes need someone else to remind us, do you know that you're going to be okay? In Christ, he has you. His hand is all over your life. And I love Psalm 31 that says all of our times are in his hands.
Yeah.
Not some, but all. And so even now, this time, it is in his hand and you are under his hand. So it's going to be okay.
So good. We're going to pause here. And I got to say, we all need those people to say those words in due season. And the thing is, God does provide them.
Yeah.
I remember one time during a really particularly tough stretch for me, and the symptoms were, for me, they're neurological, kind of scary and yucky. My hubby sat me down and he held my shoulders and he says, look at me. He says, look at me. And he spoke with so much conviction, it quickened in my being. And he said, a day is coming when you're going to bound through your days so healthy, you're not even going to think about symptoms because they'll be far removed from you. Mm-hmm. I just knew it was true. I knew it was true, and I needed that. Yeah. So maybe you need to be a hope dispenser for someone today. And I think that's why it's so good to be attentive to the Lord and to those he's put in your sphere of influence. Lord, who needs encouragement? Who needs a word of encouragement? Now, what should I say to them? Because you never know. You might be throwing a lifeline to someone who needs it. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to lay out some of the what if questions you ask in the book, and I'm going to ask you each to answer them for the person who's listening and needs to hear it today. Heidi Lee Anderson is my guest, along with her father, Dan Stoltz, and her book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. Maybe you just needed to hear that today. It's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be good. We'll be back in a minute. You're having a really great day. We sure are. Thanks for tuning into Susie Larson Live. My guests today are Heidi Lee Anderson and her amazing dad, Dan Stoltz. And she's got a book titled P.S. It's Going to Be Good, How God's Word Answers Our Questions About Faith, Fear, and All the Things. And if you just tuned in, once the live show is over, go catch the podcast because you want to hear her backstory, her battle in her 20s with lymphoma, and just what that battle taught her and how she grabbed hold of faith, grabbed hold of the promises of God. And he showed himself so strong and faithful. And in her book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good, she answers some of the what if questions. And I just want to say to you, if you walk through a prolonged period of either grief, of suffering, maybe hardship in a marriage or health challenge or financial issues, whenever it's long term, it's just amazing how those what ifs can get baked into your DNA unless you deal with them, unless you answer those in light of God's love and his faithfulness and his word. So we're going to just walk them through one by one. And Heidi and Dan are both going to just offer practical advice for you if you're feeling this. So first is, what if I'm off course? So Heidi, we'll start with you. What do you say to that person who's wondering about that?
So I love following the Israelites when they have just been saved from Egyptian slavery, right? And God could have taken them down the straightest freeway route, right? But it says he took them in the roundabout way. And so I'm sure they could have wondered, why am I off course? But what I love when you look at that story, we see a couple reasons, but my favorite is that God positioned them and had them wait until the Egyptians were actually right behind them, until they could hear the hoofbeats of the chariots coming after them. And what I love is he waited. He brought them through, right? The Red Sea, we know, and we love that story. But then he did that so they would never have to look over their shoulder for the rest of their life, constantly afraid that these Egyptians would hound them down and bring them back to slavery. No, he wanted to remove their enemy once and for all. And God still wants the same for us today too, right? He is waiting. He is going to take care of our enemy. In fact, he already has.
Yeah.
But we're going to live to see that where we don't have to look over our shoulder, always constantly afraid of what's to come, but he wants to free us. So maybe we've taken the roundabout way. Maybe what we feel like is off course is actually God positioning us to free us.
Yeah, very good. What do you say, Dan?
Well, that's a great question. You know, I just feel like, and I'm going to use just my business analogy, but I get to, one of the things about in banking, you get to listen to a lot of business owners, and it never is the journey just straight upward. There's always some valleys. There's always difficulties. And the same with life, the same with health, the same with everything like that. And to me, I find comfort, first of all, of course, my faith in leaning on to God. But as I've gotten older, I look back at the deep lessons I've learned. The person that I am today is because of those valleys. But also in those valleys, I always say, seek out your faith partners. Don't go it alone. I think sometimes these valleys are really tough and they're dark and they happen and we don't know why. But sometimes, you know, I always say that in boards, I don't know why businesses, we have a board of directors. I think individuals need a personal board of directors. You need people that can be real with you, talk to you, empathize with you, but also maybe tell you to get up, you know, and go for it. So I just feel like it's don't go it alone. And I think God, you hear story after story throughout the Bible where people go alongside somebody else in their journey and help them through.
That's so good. As you guys are talking, I'm thinking of one of my go-to verses, Psalm 139:5. You both proceed and follow me. You place your hand of blessing upon my head. So he goes before. He's got your back. He's got his hand on your head. Even if you're wandering, he's with you, and he's such a good shepherd to lead us back. So that's so good. Okay, how about this one? What if I don't have what it takes?
Yeah, you know, Gideon, that again, it goes back to Gideon. What I love about him is he saw himself as the weakest and lowest of his whole family. But what did God call him? He called him mighty hero. Right. And what you see in scripture is actually that's what happened. Peter, when God called him a rock that could not be moved, Jesus, well, he didn't look like that, right? He gave up on Jesus. He rejected Jesus. And same with Rahab. At the time, she was just this Canaanite prostitute. But God saw her as a woman of faith and someone where his son would come down her family tree. And so we are not who we think we are, but we are always who God says we are. And
we
can hang on when it doesn't look like when it doesn't look like we have what it takes. We can hang on because it will come to fruition in our life. We will be seen as more than conquerors. We will see how we are healed. We will see ourselves as strong and loved. And maybe today we don't feel it, but someday, I mean, we're going to see it because we are that. That's who God says we are.
Oh, so good. How about you, Dan?
Well, you know, I know you two are both public speakers. I get to do my share. Some people think that when we public speak, we don't get nervous, right? Or something like that. But we do. And I tell people that you just need the courage. You need someone to say you can do it. And those times when I think I can't do it and God's there, I can feel his presence, and it turns out amazing. And I just say it to people, you can do it. You've got the strength, but you need to encourage people. You need to pray with them. You need to let them know that you're behind them. But again, God's so faithful. He's not going to let us go alone. Easier said than done. But once you go through that journey and you push yourself, you can do it. No matter your age, no matter where you are in life, have that courage and go for it.
Come on. That's awesome. All right. What if I want to run away from this?
Oh, man. Jonah is the man to follow when we feel like we want to run away, right? He did not want to go to Nineveh. And we know why. I mean, when we look at who he was sent to, they're modern day terrorists. Mm. It would have looked really, really bad. But he actually wanted to run away because he knew that God was rich in mercy. He was predictably merciful and he would bring mercy to these people. But when we look at Jonah, when we want to run away from it, man, no plans of God can be thwarted, right? Not even on our own behalf. And so when we want to run away from it, we can save ourselves a lot of heartache and keep running to the Lord. We don't have to run to a certain thing. Keep running to the Lord and what he will make our paths straight. That's what we know from Proverbs.
So good. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I use the word like, why me? I mean, Lord, really? I mean, are you kidding me? And sometimes it feels like the target's really big on our back for many different reasons. And sometimes it's very lonely to be a leader with your faith in in Jesus Christ. But that sympathy, that empathetic about yourself when you really put yourself in place and know that God is right there, to me, it is you. And this is your time. And so I feel like there's a lot of why me's a lot in life. Mm-hmm. But that's where prayer, that's where dependence comes in, and that's where I feel like we get too full of ourselves and we need to lean on Him.
Mm, really good. Okay, what if I don't know what to do?
What if I don't know what to do? I love Jehoshaphat's story because he was facing enemies on all sides, and he immediately brings the people of God together. And what is his prayer? I love this one line where he says, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you." And so when we don't know what to do, we can echo that same prayer. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you, and I trust that you are my good shepherd. You will lead me on. I just need to keep seeking you and the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall into place.
So good. Okay, Dan, I'm going to give a little spin on this question.
Yes.
As a businessman, a Christian out in the marketplace, that I have high regard for, my hubby's out in the marketplace as well. I mean, I would love to know maybe a story from your own journey where you maybe found a bend in the road or a roadblock in the way. You did not know what to do. You sought God. Can you share any kind of story like that?
Yeah, you know, I can just tell you this, Susie, that I old-fashioned, I've got a booklet here. I see I've got a post-it note, and every morning I pray for wisdom. Every morning I pray for wisdom and joy. Those are the two things I pray for. So, yeah, there's many times I'll be sitting in a board meeting in a secular setting, and the value system or something's talked that is truly against what I'm all about. And I just pray. I say, Father, just give me the words. Let it come. Let it, you know, flow through me. And He's always delivered in that. But it's the moment I try to be smart. I try to be on my own. But it's literally yielding to Him, looking for wisdom every morning for those circumstances. So when they do come, I lean on Him, close my eyes, and I know He's got me in those.
Oh, so beautiful. That's good. All right. What if God's promises don't line up with my reality?
Doesn't that happen so often, mm-hmm. It seems like? I always think of Joshua as he is looking at the walls of Jericho ahead, right? It says, the Lord says to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Mm-hmm. And he could have looked up at these walls and thought, I'm not seeing what you're seeing. Like, my reality right now does not line up with that promise. But what I love is that God spoke that in past tense for a reason. He doesn't just misuse His words. And so He spoke as if it was already done, because in his eyes, it was as good as done. And we can know that with God's promises, that even if my reality doesn't seem to line up with God's promises, well, He is a man of His word. And so someday I will. And so I'm going to bank on His promise over my circumstances instead of the other way around.
So good. How about you, Dan?
Wow. You know, I will tell you, there's three times in my career when I wanted a job, I knew it was the right one. I didn't get them. And I was super disappointed. I was like, God, why? I mean, this was my dream job. Okay. And one of them filed bankruptcy literally a month after.
Whoa.
I said no. The other one didn't work out. I still don't know the reason of the third one, right? Sometimes we just don't know. God, there's a reason why. But I look at where I am today, and I look at the path that He's paved for me that I wasn't even aware of. And it's intentional. We live intentional lives with the Lord, but it's not always really understandable to us either.
That's so good. And yet it turns out to be good, because He's working all things together for the good. As
there
we go to break, Heidi writes this: while we're still sitting in the middle of our stories with no idea how they're going to play out, the author of our lives has already written the ending. And guess what? It's a good one. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. I remember one day after my show, driving home from the station, when my heart was very heavy. I was burdened with something that I really couldn't talk about, but God knew about. I was crying out to Him for wisdom, insight, direction, something. Give me something, God, I cried. Suddenly my ears perked to the voice on my radio, and it was someone on Faith Radio talking about the very problem that I had. I work for Faith Radio, yet at that moment, I was a recipient of a divine connection of hearing the right word at the right time. That's what God does. We love Him for it. Every day, we do our best to serve up the best leaders, the best voices of our day to help disciple you in your faith. But then God does what only He can do. He steps in and helps you to hear the right word at the right time. If Faith Radio has become a part of your daily journey with God, we would love to hear your story. Share how God is using Faith Radio to encourage you and to help you grow. at myfaithradio.com. Hope you're having a really great day. Thanks for tuning into Suzy Larson Live. My guests today are Heidi Lee Anderson and her dad, Dan Stoltz. And again, I had Heidi on about a year ago. It was so good. And Heidi spoke at a local event that I attended, and we got to chat a little bit. And I said, I want your dad and you to come back. And again, for those listening in the Twin Cities area, I know we've got listeners in over 170 countries, so bear with me as I make a local connection here, but I can't help it because it's so fun. If you live in the Twin Cities, and possibly if you're a Vikings fan, you might see the commercial with Dan and Kirk Cousins standing by the truck talking Spire, which is now Blaze Credit Union.
That's
Can you tell me, before we finish the rest of these questions, why the name change?
Yeah, you know, so we did a merger of equals, two companies coming together, and we really just didn't want one to survive. We wanted to create a whole new.
Cool.
And I love the word blaze because it's about a journey. We're all living a different journey in life.
Yeah.
And we're talking today about our own journeys. So I feel like it's a name that kind of can resonate with everybody.
It's got some traction too.
Yeah.
I really like that. So we're walking through Heidi's book, P.S. It's Going to Be Good. Some of the what if questions, because when you suffer, when you go through hard times, it's just natural to have what if questions. It's supernatural to be able to look those square in the face and say, that might be true, but truer still is God's word and his promise to me. So this is why I often on the show talk about, we've got to resolve those open loops in our brain. Otherwise, those are places the enemy to get in to get us to say, did God really say, or he wants to build a case against God. When you resolve those what ifs and you find some firm promises to stand on, the enemy doesn't find as much real estate or space in your life to occupy. So next question, what if it never happens? What say you?
Yeah, you know, I look at Genesis 21 because Abraham, man, he was told that he was going to have a son. He was told he was going to be the father of nations. But him and his wife, they didn't have a baby. And it wasn't until he turned 100 that he lived to see that. And that reminds me that God always has a plan and a purpose coming. And it's so easy to jump to conclusions now, but we can't remain short-sighted. We have to remember that God is working it out and we have our whole story ahead. And so instead of jumping to conclusions now, that what if it never happens or how long is it going to take? We can know that our God is good. He withholds no good thing from those who do what is right. So we just got to keep holding on, knowing purpose is coming someday.
Oh, so good. What do you say, Dan?
You know, I can't add much more to that. Only that being older, you have a chance to look back at your life and you see so many times when you ask that question or you see that. And honestly, the picture of your life and the path and the doors that the Lord opened and shut, really you start seeing the intentionality of most of those, not all of those. But he's got a plan. And again, going back to that verse, if he's for us, who in the world can be against us,
Come on. Amen. Amen. Okay. Two more questions. I'll see if I can get them in the next couple of minutes here. What if my time is past?
Yeah. You know, Elizabeth, I think of her so often because she wanted a baby, again, just like Abraham and Sarah. But she, decade after decade, had no baby. And she could have looked around at all of her friends, probably grandmas by that point, and has been like, has my time passed? And maybe resolved in her mind, it has. But what I love looking at her story specifically is we know, okay, so she was destined to be the mother of John the Baptist, right? And Mary was destined to be the mother of Jesus. Well, when we look at Mary, she was significantly younger. So even 10 years before John the Baptist was born, I mean, Mary could have likely been a toddler herself in no position to be the mother of the Son of God, right?
Good.
And
point.
So we can.
That's great.
Yeah, we can know then that God is, there is other things happening besides just us in our story, right? And it's all going to fit together someday. So if we even think our time has passed, well, we can look to Elizabeth and know, no, not only does God show no favoritism, a life yielded to God, no matter if you're 15 or 65, can always be used by God. But we can know that he is setting it up somehow, some way down the line, and that his purposes will always prevail.
So good. Anything you want to add?
Yeah, just never give up, right? I mean, and I think of my mom in the nursing home, and I was with a lot of these elderly folks, and they still had dreams, and they were pursuing those dreams. And God's got a purpose all the way through the end here on earth, and then the glory of being reunited with him.
So good. Last question. What if the worst case happens?
Oh, I get this, and I ask this again and again and again, and there is one woman in the Bible, I feel like, who gets us, and her name is Martha, and she had so much confidence that Jesus would come in time, right? Her brother is sick, and so she sends word, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Like, it's not even like you have to include Lazarus's name. He's going to know exactly who you're talking about. We're best friends with Jesus, and she knew he could do it. She knew he was the healer, but what happened? Well, he didn't come on time in her perspective. Her brother actually did die. So we actually see the worst case actually unfolding, but we also see that Jesus stayed put on purpose. And it wasn't until he gets to the tomb, and it's 4 days later now. And if you take a look at Jewish tradition, they actually thought that once people died, the souls would hover over their body for 3 days. And then after that, the souls would depart to whatever destination they're going to. Well, so Jesus waited, we see, until everyone in agreement, everyone watching would now agree, unbelievers and believers alike, that yeah, Lazarus's soul is no longer here. He is for sure dead. And this is when Jesus comes because yes, Martha prayed for healing, but Jesus had a resurrection in mind. So yeah, her prayer request was good and it was right and he could do that, but he had something far better in store. And she may not have known, she couldn't have known it at the time, right? But now, having the privy of the Bible and being able to look back in hindsight, we see, okay, he had something better coming. And that just shows us the heart of God, that he actually still does immeasurably more than what all we could ask or imagine. So even if the worst case happens, we know that he's going to flip it and it's going to be better.
Who needed to hear that today? That is amazing and an amazing place to end here. You two, this was phenomenal. And if you, I pray we've made the case that God is good, his promises are true, and he will always make a way for you. And he works all things together for the good. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie. It's been a privilege.
And what an amazing daughter you have. I know you know that already, right?
Thank you, yes.
Yes, Heidi, we love you. Thanks for coming.
Oh, I love you guys. Thanks, Susie.
Absolutely. Heidi, again, we'll be at the Set Apart Conference coming up. That information is on our website, myfaithradio.com. I'm going to have to tell you my dream another day, but you're going to love it because it's really awesome. I'm just going to leave you hanging. So we'll see you back here next time. We love you. We appreciate you. We're praying for you, and we'll catch you back here next time. Thanks for listening to Susie Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.